Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast Halloween Special. Today, Jennifer.
Yes.
It's all about cemeteries.
Time to get spooky. Spooky dookie. Yes. Oh my gosh, Joe, we've been wanting to do this show for a long time.
Well, yeah, I love cemeteries. I go to them all the time.
I do too. I know. So if everybody who has come to our show has seen that we have a sticker for your car that says, yep, this vehicle stops at all cemeteries. So everybody has to come in and get a sticker from us. Couple of things.
All right.
Graveyards, cemeteries, churchyards.
Mm-hmm.
Three separate things, right?
Are they?
I believe so. Okay.
They all have, well, now you think about this. Okay. Graveyard, is that anywhere that you just lay bodies?
Well, it says graveyard, cemeteries are both where we bury our dead, but yeah, they have slightly different meanings.
Okay.
So cemetery is much older. The word's much older. It comes back from Roman times. Today, a cemetery refers to a large burial ground, but not typically associated with a church, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's different because it's just maybe an open field or a plot of land. Cemetery is more commonly used word today, whereas graveyard is an older word. The first known mention of it was in 1767, calling it a graveyard. A graveyard or churchyard is is next to a church.
Okay.
Cemetery is a plot of land that's not attached, you know, next
with,
to a
associated
church.
With the church.
Well, it could be. It could be like a Catholic cemetery, but it's not. Doesn't have a church on the property. A cemetery is also much larger.
Okay.
So a graveyard or a churchyard is going to be a much smaller.
Just a small plot of land.
Yep.
Sort of like a family burial plot.
Yeah.
On a could be farm
that,
or.
Yeah, or could it be just, you know, a lot of the older churches did have this the graveyards attached. We don't do that anymore because obviously, you know, there's parking lots and gyms and schools attached to most of
the
churches now.
Talking about parking lots and cemeteries and or burial sites, is downtown we have the Oliver House.
Mm-hmm.
When it was being built, they actually found burials where they were putting the parking lot.
Yeah.
And instead of moving them, they just put the parking lot on top.
Yeah, Native American burial ground. So if that's not a recipe for haunting, I don't know what is.
And the place is haunted.
Well, I want to give you some 10 little known facts about graveyard. So I'll give you some and then Joe's got some for you guys. Listening pleasure, right? Okay, so the sayings on gravestones are called epitaphs.
Yeah.
Right? Epitaphs in colonial America often administered warnings about the certainty of death or even gave hints of the person who may have caused the death. As attitudes towards death change, epitaphs change, hoping to convey hope or grief, and then some are either humorous, like the one that says, I told you I was sick.
Yeah.
Which is funny. If you see a gravestone that says wow on it, W-O-W.
Okay.
If you see the word wow on a gravestone, it means that you found a burial place of a former member of the Woodmen of the World.
Oh.
Now, they were a American fraternal insurance company that was said to have given widows $100 and a free gravestone if the company logo was put on the stone. So the wow emblem was a sawed-off tree stump, often with like a mallet or a beetle or an axe or a wedge on it.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll see those old-time ones, like Civil War type.
Yeah.
And if you see that stump, that's what it was. So the widows were given $100 in order to advertise on the gravestone.
Advertisement on the stones.
I think I'll put like an advertisement on mine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so space on my gravestone. Hey, I got to make money in the afterlife too, right?
That's right.
I can take it with me. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Okay. The type of stones used for gravestones can reveal wealth or military affiliations. So American gravestones are typically made from granite, marble, limestone, sandstone, slate, quartzite, wood, or even petrified wood, which that would be very expensive.
Yeah, very.
Throughout history, wealthy families often opted for marble or granite, while poorer families often selected headstones made from sandstone, lime, or even wood. Government-issued military gravestones are uniform in design and made of marble, bronze, or granite only. This one's interesting. I did not know this. This is kind of cool. Many gravestones face east. An east-west orientation for gravestone is the most common throughout the world. Early American settlers wanted their feet pointing at the east and their heads towards the west. So they were ready to rise up and face the sun of a new day when they hoped to be reborn. It says, when the rural cemetery movement became popular in the 1830s, graveyards were constructed with winding roads and hilly terrains and stones facing in many different directions. Mm-hmm. So
the older ones, you'll have to check that out next time you go to a older cemetery or whatever. Just see if all the stones are pointing the right.
We need to put a compass in our ghost hunting bag.
Ghost hunting bag, yeah.
We don't have one. Which is interesting because it's magnetic, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Put a note on that. It's a rabbit hole that we're going down. Okay. So many carved motifs and gravestones carry meaning, right? If you look closely at gravestones, you'll see symbols are everywhere. So there's the winged hourglass that tells us time flies. An hourglass on the side indicate that time's stopping for the dead. A broken flower or tree symbolizes the life cut short. I didn't know that one. That's interesting. Hands in prayer position can signify devotion, and a hand pointing down can indicate sudden death.
Oh.
Mm. A handshake can reflect the clasped hands of a couple reuniting.
Aww.
I know, it's so sad.
Well, there's also figures of animals on the graves, like a lamb on the gravestone are usually associated with children. Mm. Okay. Detailed carving figures of family dogs are on there to represent the graves of their human friends. Mm-hmm. There's even roosters on top of the stones that are usually thought to symbolize the judgment day.
Okay.
So the rooster actually
announces the dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's of the judgment day of the dark, but you know, it's a symbolization of the judgment day when the person is going to meet in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Obelisks are a common feature in many cemeteries. Mm-hmm. Beginning usually around in the 1840s, the obelisk-shaped stones became apparent in a lot of the American graveyards. Just as there was a renewed interest in the Egyptian culture, obelisks could be placed in small areas, and they were thought to be patriotic and, of course, less costly and stuff like that. Graveyards also are for multi-purpose. A lot of the graveyards here in Toledo are used for arboretums, especially Woodlawn Cemetery. That's known worldwide for the different plant life and that they have, and a lot of birds.
Yeah, the bird watchers go in there, don't mm-hmm. they? Yeah, we saw a big bird in there, remember?
Yeah.
Or were you with me or no? There was a huge hawk or something landed on a gravestone.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like crows and that. I see a lot of crows.
Yeah, there's a lot of crows in there. No, I was in there one time and a big, huge hawk landed right next to me on a gravestone. Skin. Didn't we see mushrooms in there too?
Yes, giant mushrooms that stunk so bad.
Oh my God, they were stinky.
But you know, they're different gathering spots for people to connect with the dead, visit, you know, family members and look at history. That's, I always say, it's the big thing is, if you want to study the history of the city, go to the cemetery, mm-hmm. you know, and I know in Cleveland by the Garfield Mausoleum or Memorial, whatever you want to say, because they do have picnic tables in that and people actually go and have picnics in that because it's such a nice place.
Yeah. It's historical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's our history is, you know, all our forefathers below. So didn't we see some kind of really cool angel sculpture in the Cleveland one?
Yes,
too?
There's the Weeping Angel.
That's it.
And it's a really common photo. I mean, you see it everywhere, but it's the most bizarre thing. It's this bronze or copper. It's probably bronze, giant winged angel sitting on this like bench. And it actually cries. I mean, there's water that comes out of its eyes
so
constantly.
Weird.
We'll throw a link up in the show notes. We'll link that picture.
Yeah, that was really that interesting.
And that's in Lakeside or Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland.
How much time do you think we spend in cemeteries? Not enough.
And it seems like every time we go to different places, we always end up at the cemeteries.
So, you know, one of the most interesting ones Joe and I went to is the Erie Cemetery in Erie, Pennsylvania.
And speaking of the Erie Cemetery, we are honored to have with us today Reverend Robin Swope.
The paranormal pastor.
Yes.
Okay. So Robin is the pastor at St. Paul's United Church in Erie, Church of Christ. He's also an author and writer at the History Press. He's known as the Paranormal Pastor. And some of his books include Walk with an Angel, Real Alien Space Being and Creatures from Other Worlds, Real Vampires, Night Stalkers and Creatures from the Dark Side, True Tales of the Unexplained. That one looks really good. And The Exorcist Field Guide.
Yes.
So we can ask him about that when we talk to him here.
He's also done Eerie.
Yes, yeah. He's got a lot of books, Real Zombies, Living Dead, and Creatures of the Apocalypse.
All right. So.
Scared me.
And welcome the paranormal pastor, Robin Swope. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. It's good to hear from you again.
Yes, thanks for having me
it's
on.
It's been so long. We need to talk to you more often.
We thought we'd
I know, time flies.
Yeah.
It does. We thought we'd run into at a convention or two, and we, you know, keep up with you on Facebook, so we wanted to just have you call in because we think you have very interesting stories to share while we're doing this. Cemetery is our topic. So basically we're talking about graveyards, cemeteries, what else do they call them? Boneyards, junkyards, something like that.
Churchyards. Family plots. But Jen brought up a good thing before we started talking to you is the different types of cemeteries. I didn't realize that, you know, you have a cemetery and you have a graveyard and you have the church plot, you know, and I always just assumed that they were all graveyards.
And they have parks.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I worked at parks. No recreation.
No recreation.
That you know of.
Right. Oh.
So, Robin.
Well, there was some, but we won't talk about that. The lone vehicles.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Different kind of parks.
Different type of hooking up.
Yeah.
So, Robin, when did you begin working in a cemetery, and how did that come about?
Well, I started working in 2000. I saw an ad for a cemetery salesman, and it promised a lot of money. But it did not.
Oh.
Cemetery salesperson, you have to. It's very hard to sell because nobody really thinks about dying.
Mm-hmm.
So the sales weren't happening, and everything, you know, but, you know, sales just weren't happening. And then suddenly there was a opportunity to work as the grave digger, his assistant, and then going into the position who had been union position with all kinds of benefits and everything. So I was like, hey, okay,
heck
I'll try that.
Yeah.
So, I just started. Basically, I was the lawnmower guy, and I got to do the backhoes, and I was the guy who did all the heavy lifting, you know, manual labor, lifting up boards and digging all the manual dirt, the holes and stuff like that.
So did you know how to run all the equipment before, or did you wing it on the fly?
Oh, yeah. Well, they taught me, because it was very expensive equipment. Those huge backhoes. Yeah, we had a huge heated backhoe, too. It was very expensive. And, like, those two-ton dump trucks, the big ones for, so, yeah, we take a whole grave in, or two in one scoop. They taught me how to do all that stuff. But, you know, it's just digging a hole.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Yeah. You got to make sure it's deep enough.
Yes.
Now, is it truly?
There are rising caskets because of the water table.
Yeah, definitely. No, it is 6 feet under, right? Like that's, or is it deeper than that?
It's actually shallower than that.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, it's 6 feet under, basically from the very bottom of the grave to the top.
Oh, okay.
However, that you got about 4 foot of casket here, so it's about 2 or 3 foot.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting.
You got the vault and then the casket. And I remember you telling us a story last time we talked to you about noises in the cemetery, particularly noises you don't want to hear because you have to clean them up in the springtime.
Yes. Yeah, well, the one thing about we had a graveyard with a mausoleum, and a lot of them don't have mausoleums. But the one thing about mausoleums is usually it's, you know, for richer people,
mm-hmm.
and so they get the richer caskets. And the one thing about mausoleums is a closed space, but, you know, the temperature will go up and down because there's never a heated mausoleum. So you have the extreme cold, especially up in this area, and the extreme heat in the summertime because it gets, what, 90 almost, sometimes mm-hmm. up to 100. Every once in a while, I remember one time specifically, I was driving in the wintertime, and it had just we just had a thaw from a big freeze, we heard a shotgun explosion.
Mm.
And my boss said, "Oh no, it's another one." Yeah. And what happens is the caskets are sealed airtight, so much so when the body fluids build up and they explode, and so there's guts and decay, and it's really like. If you mix raspberry and grape jello together and splat it against the wall.
Mm.
Oh, and it probably smells delicious, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You have to have Vicks underneath your underneath your nose just to be able to smell because the stench is just so incredibly bad. You could smell it. We had the one, there's another graveyard that was in Meadville that actually had vultures.
Oh,
they had a couple really?
They had vultures sitting up on top.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, is that a common occurrence?
No. Oh. It's something you don't want. There was a rash of, because sometimes this will happen and they don't clean it up and it'll drip out.
Oh.
And there was a series of lawsuits in Florida about 10, 15 years ago about that.
So if you're ever wandering through a mausoleum and you hear something explode,
run.
Yeah.
Run and get your Vicks.
Yeah, because we go to cemeteries all the time, and one thing that I always say is, it's the history. I go for the history. I look at the tombstones, and it's just amazing looking at the dates and the names and stuff. It's just, that's the history of the city.
Now, the cemetery that you worked for, that was in Erie, Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes, it was right on I-90. If you ever travel from Cleveland to Buffalo or come mm-hmm. into Erie, right on Route 90, you'll see an old jet from the Korean War, one of the first jets. Mm-hmm. And that's where I worked. It was sort of like a military graveyard, but not really. Okay. It was a corporate graveyard.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's owned by a huge corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And were you ever in a situation, you obviously, you know, worked during the day, but were you in there at night, and did you experience anything strange or unusual?
Well, you know, working at night, I tried avoiding at night because I would go there, and you'd feel something watching you.
Mm.
You know, it's just that weird sense. I never saw anything at night.
Okay.
But you had that. And it could have been the coyotes. We had a lot of coyotes. Mm. I never experienced any ghosts or apparitions there, but there was a few graves that some people would say that in the dawn, especially at this one grave, they'd see an apparition of a woman standing by this grave. And I think it was a murder-suicide, if I'm correct.
Wow,
that's interesting. Yeah, and I had a supervisor who would be in the mausoleum, and he swear he would hear children's voices and people call his name.
That would freak me out.
Yeah, that'd be kind of creepy.
I never. I would often go in there and sing.
Oh, okay.
So, because the acoustics were wonderful.
Right. Yeah.
All marble.
Yeah. Right, right.
High ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But no, the only thing, I had a lot of cryptid experiences there.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, tell us about those. That would be...
Well, the coolest one, it was a Thunderbird in 2001. And, no, it was 2000. I keep 2001 because it was published in a magazine in 2000. But I was driving, and if there's high tension wires that go from Chicago to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And the bridge is right over by the cemetery. It's in the last quarter of the cemetery property. And I was driving, and suddenly I saw this bird come off the swamp area by the wires and go over the wires. And it's a 20-foot span of the wires there, and it was almost from tip to tip.
Hmm.
And flew off and went into the woods. And I was really excited. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thunderbird.
Uh-huh. You hear about them all the time, and then you actually get to see one.
Yeah, you know, I always wanted to have some sort of weird cryptid, but never, you know. But, just right while you're working, you never expect that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all black with a tuft of white underneath its neck, if I believe. I didn't see any other colors. It could have been a darker blue, but I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to the blue herons there. And it was sort of like a blue heron, but a lot different, a lot darker and a lot primal and like twice the size. Because we had a lot of waterworks there, and they'd jump out and scare you after that.
Oh, my gosh. Now, did it make any noise, or did you hear any noise associated with it?
Nothing. However, I did see it again in 2009. And I was there trying to, with a group that was trying to do paranormal investigations with the, you know, voices and stuff that mm-hmm. that one person heard in the mausoleum. He never showed up, and I was getting ready for him. I was walking by the mausie, and it came out again, and actually some ravens were chasing it.
Oh.
And I just put batteries in my camera, and the camera died.
Uh-huh.
So I had to run, put new batteries in, and took a picture. It was really tiny. You couldn't tell what it was.
It's interesting that, you know, having that experience and then the batteries died. So, you know, could it be something paranormal that needed the energy to drain the batteries?
Never know.
You never know.
Never know.
You never know. You always hear about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was there any evidence of, like, nesting or feathers, or did you
never found anything like that, because there's always in the swamp.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a big swampy area. And right now it's really grown over.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really get back in there. I have had other experiences. That was a very weird area.
What that?
And I had let me try and get these. First off, the coyotes would come to you all the time.
Okay.
Frolic as you're mowing the lawn. Mm-hmm. And then I had a peacock, full peacock with the full feathers, fly out from I-90.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where it came from. But it just flew off and then started walking away. And there was this one time, too, I put it on the Cryptomundo site. And it was this little bird. It was like a pigeon, but it was gray with an orange beak and black legs. Everybody said it was a chicken, but I grew up in a farm.
Right? Yeah.
Chickens, like, this was nothing mm-hmm. like I've ever seen. And it followed my truck back into the dump. And I came back and it was gone, but it followed real close to the truck. Like, it was really odd.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never, and I called the game commission. Nobody has anything that what it could be.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You know, and that's, everybody thinks of cryptids being so big, but they could be small. We never know.
Right.
Yeah, then that was totally unknown.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Have you been back to that cemetery since 2009 or that area?
I've been back, and I go back there a couple times every year, but I never experienced anything else.
Mm-hmm. Was there any other reports of any other witnesses seeing?
The day after, somebody saw the same exact type of bird it was Greenville.
Huh?
So maybe it, flew down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've talked to other people about cryptids and that, and we always ask, do you think they migrate? And something like that, they may just been passing through. We know, you know, could be migrating.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know, because there's all kinds of strange stories about huge thunderbirds.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. I mean, gigantic, 40-foot wingspan.
Yeah. Wow. And is that in the Pennsylvania area? Do we have
Yeah, all the way down. The bigger ones were down in the middle between, like, 80 and Pittsburgh area. Yeah. Gigantic was. And then you go back into history, and this area's had sort of like an ancient buzzard-type creature. I forget what it was called.
Okay. I'll have to look that up. Yeah, I haven't heard about that.
Definitely. But
yeah, I forget what it's called. It's a pterodon, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it pterodon?
Hmm.
Yeah. But so some say that maybe that's what it is, especially with the white tuft, because the white tuft was very distinctive in my sighting and also the one in Greenville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And when I noticed, too, like when Joe and I drove through Pennsylvania, people don't realize how forested, I don't even know forested? If that's the right word, but how much forest is in Pennsylvania. There definitely could be, you know, miles of unexplored or, you know, uninhabited by humans. Areas out there that cryptids could be in that we haven't discovered yet.
You know, I always bring up this illustration. When you talk about any type of woods, you know, even a small woods can hide something pretty significant. I remember about 20 years ago, there's this elderly man. It's a really sad story. He had dementia and got lost from his neighborhood. And they were right in a little section by a school. Behind the school had about 10 acres of woods. And he got lost in there, and they had thousands of people looking for him. They didn't find him for 3 months.
Oh,
wow.
In a really small area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can't believe how much forest can hide things.
Yeah.
It can be hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of reports that we've heard of, you know, people having, like, even Bigfoot encounters. They'll be right in front of them, and they almost blend into the environment.
I think that's one of the things that why we can't see a lot of the cryptids, because they know how to blend in so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've written many books on cryptids and other types of strange creatures. Is there anything else that's, you know, kind of local to Pennsylvania that we would be surprised to know that's out there?
Phantom black cats. I've also had an encounter with a phantom black cat. It seems like the Native Americans here, any Native American totem animal sort of materializes, you know, in this area. Just, I think, because of the Native American population, and I think Erie area was a burial ground for the Erie Indians.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Erie Indians were by Buffalo with their capital, but here in this area, if you read the records, they're not here anymore. But I did find one area that suddenly there. I found about 20 mounds in this one area that they used to cover the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first started digging the town, they dug their train tracks, and they came across thousands and thousands of bodies buried like it was in a battlefield.
Oh,
buried
my God.
Ground in different ways.
Wow, that is very interesting.
And, of course, they probably didn't relocate many of them. And we just mentioned that a little earlier in the beginning of the show. Here in Toledo, we have the Oliver House, downtown Toledo. Uh-huh. And when they were building that, the parking lot, they actually found it was a Indian burial area. And instead of moving them, they just put the parking lot right over the top of the bones. Which, and everybody that we talked to about that, or even at the Oliver House when they mentioned it, everybody has the same reaction. It's like, why? You know?
Yeah, that's a good recipe.
Wow. Yeah, they did that a lot here in Erie.
Mm. Another thing I remember we talked to you about is the vampire crypt.
Mm-hmm.
That was so interesting.
Yeah, we never forgot that. We talk about that all the time on the show because it made such an impact, the story mm-hmm. that you told us.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's a couple different ones. The first one is that, the whole thing starts, of course, according to the legend, that in the 1800s, when they first got the bodies there in 1850, before that, they were organizing it, but they officially opened, you know, where they were done putting the bodies in from these different cemeteries throughout Erie County in 1850. So before that, the legend goes, when they were putting the bodies there, there were people being attacked and killed, and the cemetery groundsman saw somebody go into the crypt late at night.
Oh.
And vampire, basically.
Yeah.
He caught him a couple times. And so he, what he did is he burned him out, burnt the entire thing. And if you go there, it's all blackened.
Yeah.
Then the other one is that this, now it's a ghost, and it will haunt people there. There was one in the 1960s, somebody was, there was having a party there. It was always a frequent place for people to hang out and drink at night. And some guy was dancing on top of the tomb and mocking the vampire, and he slipped and fell. So he was taken to the hospital in Hammond Hospital, and the ghost haunted him there, and he committed suicide and jumped off one of the tall, that's a legend.
Yeah.
I've never found any records of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a record that right by there, there was some type of phantom dogs that came after and attacked some lady who was laying some flowers for her husband.
I remember that story. And when she encountered them, she backed up. And when she got, if you can, you know, back, tell me if this is true or not, but when she backed up, she got so far away from the vampire crypt, the dogs like stopped. And it wouldn't go any farther.
Yeah, they wouldn't come any farther. And mm-hmm. I guess their eyes were glowing red.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would freak me out for sure.
Yeah.
It was funny because when we were in Erie for the convention that we met you at, we actually went there. And, you know, you always hear about the story of the woman in white. And we were at the cemetery and we come walking down the road and there was a real woman in white standing in front of the vampire crypt. It wasn't a ghost. But it was funny because she was wearing all white. We're like, a woman in white.
I'm like, you know? Am I seeing things?
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a very popular place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And just strange vibes when you're in there too.
Yeah.
You know, like you had mentioned the feeling of somebody watching you. That's kind of what I felt like standing around there. But who knows? You know, there could have been some dogs or some coyotes.
Yeah.
Peeking us out.
You never can tell because there's all kinds of weird stuff that happens in there too, and people bring things in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It comes with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you notice that, that working in a cemetery or a graveyard that people tend to come in and do strange things?
Yes, all the
things
time.
Things they shouldn't be doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's all kinds of vandalism, mm-hmm. All kinds of graffiti. A lot of would-be Satanists who are just teenagers who want to cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But Satanists do come in and a lot and do, you know, well, Wiccans sometimes do. It depends on where they're leaning, you know. Some of the darker people like to gravitate towards that because it gives them familiarity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the teenagers are just vandals.
Yeah.
And especially by a busy intersection, we would get a lot of that.
Mm.
Yeah. Or a lot of romantic interludes, like I had alluded to before. And tons of those. Every day. Yeah. It's like another car coming in. Oh, they're not visiting.
Yeah, you want to get the fire hose out and go, dang it, stop it right now.
Yes. Yes. Don't mow the far field. You're going to have an eyeful.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened, right?
Yeah.
So did you... Have you ever encountered any grave robbing that happened?
No, nothing like that.
That's good.
The only thing was the mold man. It was, and it's a story I heard from down by Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Is, you know, when they were building mausoleums, they'd sell the mausoleum things beforehand so they could afford to build a mausoleum,
mm-hmm.
you know? So they put them in temporary, very crude mausoleum slabs off to the side and then put them in afterwards. And I guess what happened is this one was there for a couple of years and they put him in the mausoleum and he kept going back to the old place.
Oh.
Wow.
The casket was there twice, I guess. And the last time they say he was all moldy after that. And there was some mold on the handles of the door and some mold footprints.
Wow.
Which is kind of freaky.
Yeah. Oh,
that is so
So you wonder, you know, was it vandals playing a trick? Because, you know, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? They get the story and they want to recreate the story and just show everybody that it's true, you know?
Yeah.
I believe the latter. I think the mold man was just walking around.
He was bored. He was bored laying there. He just figured he'd walk around.
Now,
yeah.
Do you, in your opinion, do you feel like spirits and ghosts hang out in cemeteries, or do you think they're more drawn to where people, you know, the living are, and where more energy is?
You know, the weird thing about graves and spirits, is the word demon originates from actually spirits in the grave. The word demon is basically from daemon. It's an unclean spirit that inhabits graves. So what the whole thing of it is that the spirits you encounter in a graveyard aren't necessarily the spirit of the dead, mm-hmm. but things that cling on and want attention.
I see.
Especially those that mourning and sadness.
Do you think they attach to people because they're at a weak point where maybe they're, you know, visiting their loved ones and they're highly emotional?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Emotions, they feed off emotions. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the more violent, the more stronger emotions, like hate, mm-hmm. anger, and sadness and fear. Depression is the big one nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're thriving.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
How do you...
Those ones are cyclical. So they constantly feed, because mm-hmm. we constantly take what they give.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you protect yourself if you want to just go and visit your loved ones? I mean, you know, how do you ward that off if they're there?
Oh, you know, well, if those things only come if you're seeking it in the graveyard.
Oh,
that's why I always say don't paranormal investigate in the graveyard, because you're not going to find anything good.
Okay.
You know, unless there's some kind of apparition that's appearing and you want to catch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. Like the ghost bride.
Yeah.
In the Erie Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, you never can tell. So unless you're seeking it, it won't really, you know, and then they, you know, the Klingon ones, unclean ones. Usually the unclean spirits, they call them unclean because they were habitual spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They would get you to do things that were emotionally damaging to yourself, you know, different type of vice sins or addiction sins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a weird connection there.
Now, do these entities, were they human form at one time, or were they never human form?
You know, that's the thing. And I'm very odd in this way. Mm-hmm. I look back to the ancient as far as you can, and I've been studying Sumerian, Egyptian mythology and religion. And the Sumerians had words for, and I don't have my screen up for that. They have a specific word for somebody who's passed, and you're dead, their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have a word for something that manifests after a person dies. It's a fake spirit, like a tulpa, mm-hmm. but of the dead person, but it's not the dead person, and they harass the family to feed off the emotions.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that goes back, what, 6,000 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really, the Sumerian mythology is where we get our Western ideas from. A lot of the stuff comes from there. And so, the only spirits that I know that you can definitely tell are human are the ones that come back and tell you everything's going to be okay.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Or they have a mission.
Yeah.
You know, they have something for you to do. God wants you to do something. And it's usually to comfort.
Oh, okay.
To know that there's a heaven.
It's almost like they care a lot more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you get a lot of these phantom phone calls from the dead sometimes.
Yeah.
Then usually it's everything's okay.
Yeah, we've done a show on phone calls from the dead, and it was just amazing that, you know, people, phone numbers of people have passed on and ringing on, and they're saying, I'm okay, and it's that person's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never experienced it. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
No, not me personally, no.
Yeah.
No. I have heard voices mm-hmm. in my church before.
Uh-huh.
Actually, the sieges were there, so I knew I wasn't crazy. and once in a while, you'll hear some voices, and it's like, oh, it's rah, rah. But I've never heard any from the past. But I do know people who have encountered it quite
mm-hmm.
a bit.
Mm-hmm. Would it be sacrilegious if you paranormal investigated in a church?
Well, actually, you know, churches are at specific places for reasons, and you're mm-hmm. usually there for as a holy place. some of them. And if they aren't to begin with, you know, if they're there for quite a long time, they do accumulate power. Mm-hmm. And people come back, I believe, to say hello.
Yeah.
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 It was a place.
I know so many churches that have ghosts.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, because it was a place where everybody gathered to basically pray and that, which is, in a way, I don't know if this will sound right or not, but in a way it's kind of paranormal because you're praying to something that you can't see, mm-hmm. you know, so maybe I don't know. I'm just thinking it's a gathering spot. So it's a place that people remember and are happy.
And a safe space too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
so many questions. We could go in so many different directions. You know, when you're maybe performing a funeral, do you find that the person who's passed on will be, you know, present at their own funeral? Like, are they there to say goodbye to their loved ones?
You know, I've never experienced that in a funeral. I've done quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
I never have. Sometimes, like I've been there with people passing, but nothing ever really there. Some people have different experiences. I know hospice workers, they have some very traumatic experiences, like angels singing or lights and all kinds of things.
Have you ever had any experience with angels?
Oh, I've had quite a few experiences with angels, yes. Uh-huh. I get a weird, angels always come to me mm-hmm. in times of trouble and trauma. I know I'm going to be going through something very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they always come as African Americans dressed in a certain color brown and always in period pieces.
Okay.
One actually twice last year. I've had quite an experience this last 2 years here at this church. And it's been very traumatic. And two of them appeared to me. On the bus, and we were just talking, and how I knew is this: I get this hum, okay. and it's like a live wire
mm-hmm.
You're holding on to, and they always talk about, you know, in riddles or puzzles, and these two worked together. They even nodded together. One got off like they're going on their journey. One was dressed in 70s clothes. The other was dressed in 1800s clothes.
Wow.
First time it happened to me was just before my divorce in 1995. A guy came in, said he knew everybody, played me a spiritual. He was dressed in 1920s clothes. Didn't say his name, went out the door, went to find his, you know, find his name, and he was just gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he could have just disappeared.
Yeah.
But he did.
So interesting. Because you always think of angels as an, you know, winged warrior type, you know, things, but a lot of times they'll just appear as normal people. Mm-hmm. I mean, my experience, you know, I'm pretty sure that was my guardian angel who pulled me off a cliff. I, as a young child, stepped off a cliff, but it was just dressed in blue jeans and a, you know, flannel shirt.
Yeah.
It's like they almost appear to you not to scare you.
Yeah.
So if they appeared to you as a giant white entity with giant wings, it may have scared you so much sure. that you wouldn't talk to them.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So they come to forewarn you. Have they come to give you messages of like positive things that are going to happen? In your experience?
No.
They're party poopers.
Well, we need to change that.
You know, when I see an African American person in old certain color clothing, I'm like, okay, what's coming up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not really. When I get the hum.
Yeah.
When I get the hum. Yeah. I've had one Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Or else God really wanted me. It was a homeless woman. God really wanted me to get her to where she wanted to go, and I did.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, what do you think is scarier, the living or the dead?
The living.
Okay.
Yeah. I always say the most personification I've evil ever experienced in my life was from a human resource person.
Yes.
Heartless and cold.
Yes.
Yeah, there's knife. And as being a pastor, I can honestly tell you there's no evil like the evil in a person's heart.
Yeah.
And I experience it all. You know, people don't want to go to church because of the things, and mm-hmm. as a pastor, you experience that incredibly.
Yeah.
You see the worst and the best.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And people open up to you because of, you know, because that you are a pastor. I think, you know, they would probably tell you secrets they wouldn't tell anybody else.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sometimes it's just seeing people that, how they treat one another.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, like paranormal people. You know, we're in a certain breed and we're looked down sometimes on church people.
Oh, yeah.
Denomination. Mm-hmm. And minorities and all that. So I'm in a good denomination that sticks up for the rights of individuals and minorities and those who have no place to turn to. So I'm blessed in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't make a perfect church, though.
Well, I don't think you'll ever have perfect because there's always room to grow.
Right.
And there's always people. Mm-hmm. There's always politics.
Yeah.
And there's always spirits. Yes.
Yeah, whenever there's the one bad thing about religion, and that's why everybody says they're spiritual, is because religion has politics.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality does not. You know, we always like to section things off and classify them and have our team as humans.
Yeah.
We're always tribal.
So, just for everybody's knowledge, you wrote a very, very interesting book about exorcisms. As we're you know, going and talking about cemeteries, death, dying, are you still in that realm? Are you still doing those type of blessings and exorcisms?
Oh, yeah. Somebody came to me with a possible possession. It wasn't. Actually, a sensitive who is very much sensitive on the top of an Indian burial ground.
Mm.
So she got the sense that everything was happening there.
Wow.
I still do that, and I'm actually going to write another book. It's going to be on Sumerian and Egyptian rituals and rites of exorcism.
Oh, okay.
And it'll delve into the spirituality, the commonality that we have, because actually the Hebrew religion and what we get in the Old Testament is a mixture of Sumerian and Egyptian spirituality. And I always say that in Mesopotamia, that's where we got hell. Mm-hmm. Is they're very, very negative. They're very pessimistic because the floods would destroy everything. But in Egypt, the floods came and put the silt down, so that's where we got heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got the afterlife.
So going back as far as, our ancestors go back, 8 to 10,000 years. So do you believe that people were being possessed back as far as, modern records go?
I'm sorry.
So, we've been on this earth, functioning civilizations for, 8,000 years, maybe 10,000 years?
Longer than that.
Okay. Have people been possessed or having possessions happen to them since those times?
I think so, because, I don't think some of these spirits, I think they're actually territorial and other type of beings that just inhabit a different type of realm, a different type of dimension, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they are beings, and they're powerful, and as, every religion defines them differently, just that the Abrahamic religions defines them very similarly, so Islam mm-hmm. and Christianity and Judaism. But also the Chinese and the Asian have the very same sort of thing. So they're different names, but the same function,
mm-hmm.
type of spirits.
Yeah.
And I think that they're part of the earth, and they're part of our nature of life in a way. And maybe they're generated from us because they certainly do thrive from us.
Mm-hmm. So this is a weird question.
We love weird.
If it doesn't make sense, just hang up. I'm kidding. if somebody has a possession and they are not exercised of that possession, and they pass away either naturally or by their own hand or something, where does that spirit or demon that's possessing them go? Does it jump into somebody else, or does it go into, like, the space until it finds somebody else? Or does it go back to wherever it came from?
You know, that's a good question. You see that, remember that movie with Wesley Snipes? What was it, Legion?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And that's a Christian thing that, like, dogma that I was brought up with. That they will harass you. They will torment you until they drive you to hell, and then that's their goal, to drive you to hell, mm-hmm. and then they just move on to another person. But I don't think that's true. You know, you are your individual.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're under, and what exorcists would believe is that the person is, in their nature, innocent. And spirits might drive them to do things, mm-hmm. or be an attachment because of different problems in their life. However, they're still an innocent person, and that's what the rite of exorcism does. And what we're trying to do is just get them back to their innocence. So they are not culpable of the things that they do. So they're not culpable to go to hell, and this demon, it can leave and go to other people, but a person is deaf. They usually leave before that because they do not want to experience that.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's see. A million questions, but, you know, we can always do show two. you know, tell everybody, all our listeners, just a little bit about some of the books that you've written and some of the topics you cover, because I just think they're really fascinating. I read a couple of them, and I really, really enjoyed them.
Well, I my first one was The Exorcist Field Guide to Blessings and Consecrations, and that's just how to do your own blessings and consecrations. The stuff inside, how to manufacture your own any way you need. And then I have a book on my blog post that I condensed into a book, Tales of the Unexplained. And I also have a cryptozoological coloring book.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, I need that. That would be help with my stress.
Sorry, what I did is I just put a brief info, some stuff that you didn't know, on the one side, and then you can color it yourself. And I have an eerie book through History Press, and I'm still trying to do that. That's hard. I'm actually in the beginnings of possibly moving, looking for another church. So my new exorcist guide on the Sumerian and Egyptian stuff might be postponed for about a year.
Oh, okay.
I'll definitely look for that one, because I'm interested in that.
Now, you've traveled extensively. Did you ever go to any cemeteries in other places than and seen anything strange or unusual around the world?
Well, I did. I was a missionary for a part-time in Africa. Mm-hmm. I was zoning for a summer. And there was cryptids there as well. I have a blog post. I call it the Creature of the Black Ravine.
Yeah.
And it couldn't get lagoon. But it was a ravine, and it was really like a green area. It's like a hole in the middle of the savannah. It was green. And it was about 15 to 20 foot deep. And there was no water anywhere. It's like 10 miles to the river. But it must have been some sort of tributary. And when we went there, they were leading cattle and chickens down. And they were slaughtering it to a fertility god.
Uh-huh.
And the fertility god would give them a male child. So they'd sacrifice their only, and this is poverty. I mean, they lived in mud huts or mm-hmm. metal tents. And they take their only livelihood and sacrifice it to this thing. And we went down there, and it was covered in blood, and the stench was unbelievable. Killing the chickens, killing cows, goats, and just the meat and the blood, and they throw the meat into this pond. It was about twice the size of Olympic size pool.
Okay.
All dirty with high cliffs on the side, you know, it's like a little pocket in the middle of nowhere. And they threw it in, and all of a sudden, it was all murky. You couldn't see any, you couldn't see 2 inches down. You know. All of a sudden, this about as big as a little Volkswagen back. It was all black, no scales, no fins, just came up. And where the meat was, you saw bubbles.
Hmm.
And then it just sunk back down slowly.
Oh, my God. That is
probably the... about, oh, I'd say about at least 4 or 5 foot long.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
So
you...
that was interesting. They said that in the 1800s, one of the first white guys that was there mocked the creature and jumped in the water and he was eaten alive.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So it's been there for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. Hundreds. What I think it is, mm-hmm. is a catfish, because they do have very big catfish mm-hmm. in the Volta River that's, you know, what, like 10 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to, you know, about four or five foot long. But this thing was huge. But, you know, if you have a constant feeding those things over time and a select breed of larger catfish, you probably have a, maybe even a, you know, maybe a new species, even.
Yeah.
Sure.
Think about, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to work for its food.
No, they bring it there. The
yeah.
best food in the area.
Nice.
But anyhow, we'd love talking to you, and I'm so honored to have you on. And we've got to get out there and see you in person.
I know. We need to come
it's
out
been
your
so
way.
Long. And
yeah, we're trying to open up the church for haunted tours again because we do have activity.
Oh,
quite a bit.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Invite you guys up.
We were driving from one of the conventions and we're like, we've got to stop. I want to stop at your church and just pop in and say hi. And the map said it was like an hour maybe out of the way. It ended up being like 3 to 4 hours out of the way. We're like, we can't make it. There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, we'll catch them next time.
But if you want, would you tell everybody where they can get a hold of you if they want to look for your books and stuff?
I have an Amazon page, just Robin Swope.
Okay.
And my old blog page is still there, Paranormal Past. You can Google it. I haven't written anything for a while. I am starting up a new page. I'm going to put paranormal in one. I'm also going to be writing on different subjects.
Okay.
Cool.
Social topics and mm-hmm. Spirituality. I'm getting into more of a, I've had a weight loss journey.
Oh.
Of like 150 pounds.
That's great.
And martial arts, and I've had a lot of physical ailments. So I'm getting into wholeness and wellness and hypnotherapy. I'm actually doing regression therapies.
Very cool.
So I'm going to combine that into different topics.
Cool. Send some of your energy my way, will
yeah,
you?
Yeah, send us some love and light. Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know I've been trained for hypnotherapy for a while, but I never really did regression, and it's very surprising how much stuff comes out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, anyways, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, we
it's
appreciate
such
it.
An honor to talk to you again. And
my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
We've got to get together instead of having, what, almost 2 years now
yes.
in between our visits.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. We don't have the MUFON conventions up here anymore.
Mm-mm. But we'll stop in someday and say hi.
Yeah. Sure. And who knows? I might even be down by your area.
That's right.
Come on down.
You're always welcome.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Hey, Toledo's a, you know, just a great place to live. I'm telling you.
Ohio.
Yep.
I tell you. Everybody from my denomination from this area is going to Ohio for some reason.
Place to be. There's a lot of cool stuff here, like paranormal stuff. So
yeah.
Come on down, yeah. Robin.
more people.
Yes.
All most presidents in the United States.
Yep, that's for sure. But we really appreciate, you know, you taking the time and just sharing some of your stories with us. And we definitely want to have you back on when you get your new book out.
And sounds good.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was awesome.
Very cool. Such a nice person.
Yeah.
I love talking to him. I love his stories. It's just...
Yeah. I'm so glad he told us the story about Africa. I remember he told us that last time, and I love that story.
I do too. Yeah. Interesting. Spooky stuff.
He has seen a lot of cryptids.
Yeah. I wonder if he just has that gift that they appear to him.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Very you know, cool. Talking about Thunderbirds, a lot of people see Thunderbirds, mm-hmm. but, you know, for him to see two of them. And
the black cat.
Yeah, the black cats he sees a lot.
Yeah, that's cool. I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like to hear other people's experiences in cemeteries. So, you know, if any of our listeners have had strange or unusual mm-hmm. experiences, just leave us a note. If you want to share your story yeah. on our Facebook page, that's great. Or if you want to send us a private message, maybe we'll be able to get you on, you know, yeah. in the air.
And I hope to have another show about, like, burials mm-hmm. and stuff. We'll talk about different coffins and yeah, stuff like that.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
If anybody's taken any interesting photographs in the cemetery mm-hmm. and want to share it with us on our page, you know, go to our Facebook page. It's 222 Paranormal. And we also have a Twitter page. I know we have a lot of followers on Twitter, and we really appreciate everybody's follows us on Twitter and, mm-hmm. and puts up with all my funny, weird tweets that I put out there. You know, I love tweeting. I don't know why, I just do.
We always say, come to the events that we're at. If you want to tell us your story, we're always welcome there.
Yeah.
Or you can actually set it up to where we'll call you, like we did with Robin. Mm-hmm. We'd be yep. happy to call you and have you tell us your stories on the air.
Yeah, it's you know, there's just so many stories out there, and just anything to do, I think, with a cemetery or graveyard just mm-hmm. holds an extra level of spookiness,
oh, yeah.
which, you know, Joe and I are all about the spooky.
You know, I go to a lot of them, and I carry a kit in my car
mm-hmm.
to clean the sites off. Now, I don't clean the stones, per se.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a scrub brush and all that, right. which that gets into a lot of other things where you gotta worry about the pH levels of the cleaners and all that, so you don't hurt the stone. But the gravestones that are actually in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the things that you should have in your car if you want to clean these things off is a roofer's knife is awesome for it. Okay, what that is, it's a knife, but it has like a hook at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I'll actually take and I'll find the edge of the stone. And I'll run that down the edge, cutting the grass, not the stone.
Right.
And then I'll cut it at a 45-degree angle.
Mm.
And then I also have a car brush that was my old brush that I used to wash my car with because mm-hmm. it's gentle enough to where you won't scratch the stone or yeah. that. And if you're in these graveyards and you see these graves that are growing over with grass, take a little bit of time and just clean the grass off of them.
It's just respect for the yeah. people who's buried there. Oh, I forgot to ask Robin one question.
Okay, what?
Okay, so we'll have to. We'll have a little Facebook thing with them. Weird things people have left at gravestones.
We are very unprepared.
Well, you know, he just has so many stories. But, you know, we're going to talk to him again. If you guys want to check him out, he's called The Paranormal Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And go to his Amazon and buy his books. They're so interesting and very easy to read. And
we'll link up his books on our page. Yeah, if you yeah. want to go, just go to our 222 Paranormal website and click on books, and they'll be listed in there.
Everybody, we really thank you for listening this week. You know, it just means a lot to us that you guys are out there and sharing our page and coming to the conventions. We had so many people come up and, you know, shake our hands and take photographs, and we just love it.
My one fan.
Yeah.
That who I've ran, known for years.
But. Ran up to Joe. Like, he was like yelling across the convention. So, oh my God, it's Joe Shortridge. It was awesome.
Josh, he is so cool.
Hey, Josh, we really appreciate you coming out.
Here's a little backstory on Josh. He is the sound guy at one of the bars at Dead End 5. It's like the home bar.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've recorded a few videos there. Okay. And one of the videos... and it's just ironic that our opening and closing song is Get the Party Started by Dead End 5. If you go up on YouTube
mm-hmm.
and you look at the video that we made for that song, Get the Party Started, you'll see a clown. It's a plastic, he has a plastic clown face on. That is Josh.
Josh, and, your famous Josh.
Yes. He is on one of the videos. He was just there doing sound while we were recording the video. And we're like, you want to be on the video, Josh? And he's like, yeah. So Dana whipped out this mask, and now he is Bowtie the Clown.
That's awesome.
So that's a little backstory on Josh. He is one of the coolest guys.
Yeah, we're really glad that he came and saw us.
Yes,
and we get to meet
brought
him.
His mother and his grandma, and yes, they loved the event.
They did. And I'm hoping they're rocking our We Speak EVP t-shirts. Yes.
So anyways, why don't we play a little bit of this?
Let's do it.
Let's get the party started.
We'll rock out
and once
send you
again,
on your way.
I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank Robin for talking to us. We love him.
Yep.
And we will talk to you next week.
Take
Have
care.
A great Halloween, everybody.
Woo, spooky. Stay spooky, everybody.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, Joe.